This evening I want to look at a missionary biography, the story of Bill Wallace of China. It's Christmas season, and it is a time when many of our Southern Baptist churches begin to think about missions and our support for international missions. We collect an offering called the Lottie Moon Christmas offering that supports and undergirds missionaries who work in international situations. And tonight I want to remember a Southern Baptist missionary martyr, Bill Wallace of China again. Since 1845, since the founding of the SBC, 19 Southern Baptist missionaries have met violent deaths on the field. The latest, of course, of these were the three medical missionaries who were killed in Yemen in 2003 by a deranged Islamic man who shot them down within that little hospital in Jibla, Yemen. Wallace was someone who unfortunately is now beginning to be forgotten, but he was a pioneer medical missionary who also met a martyr's death. Before we get into looking at his story, I want us to begin by taking a look at Scripture. And so, first of all, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. And here we read these words. "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." I also want to read from the book of Hebrews, from Hebrews 11, the great faith chapter. And in Hebrews 11, verses 36 through 38a, we read these words. "Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy." May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. William L. Wallace was born in Knoxville, Tennessee, on January the 17th, 1908. His father was a physician there in Knoxville. And as a young lad, Bill Wallace displayed a lot of mechanical skills. As a child and a youth, he loved to work on cars. And most who knew him thought that he would surely become a mechanic or an engineer. So skilled was he with mechanical things. But on July the 5th, 1925, when he was a 17-year-old, while he was out in his family's garage working on a car engine, he felt what he thought was a spiritual call from God to become a medical missionary. In fact, he was so moved by this moment that he took his New Testament, the New Testament he would carry with him through adulthood, and he wrote in it the date, July 5th, 1925, and an account that he was called to become a medical missionary. And again, he kept that grease-stained New Testament throughout his adult life. He went on as a young man to college at the University of Tennessee, and then to medical school in Memphis, and on to become the chief surgical resident at Knoxville General Hospital. In the fall of 1934, Wallace wrote the following letter to the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. And by the way, my source, primary source for the life of Bill Wallace, is a little book that is written by Jesse Fletcher that was published in 1963 by Broadman Press. And in that little book, here is the letter that Wallace wrote in the fall of 1934. He wrote, "My name is William L. Wallace, and I am now serving as a resident in surgery at Knoxville General Hospital, Knoxville, Tennessee. Since my senior year in high school, I have felt God would have me to be a medical missionary, and to that end, I have been preparing myself. I attended the University of Tennessee for my pre-medical work and received the MD from the University Medical School in Memphis. I did an internship here at Knoxville General and remained for a surgical residency. I am not sure what you desire by way of information, but I am single, 26 years old, and I am a member of the Broadway Baptist Church. My mother died when I was 11, and my father, also a physician, passed away 2 years ago. There were only two of us, and my sister, Ruth Lynn, is planning to marry. I must confess I am not a good speaker nor apt as a teacher, but I do feel God can use my training as a physician. As humbly as I know how, I want to volunteer to serve as a medical missionary under our Southern Baptist Foreign Mission Board. I have always thought of Africa, but I will go anywhere I am needed." I'm struck by the sentiment at the end of that letter that Wallace said that he would be willing to go anywhere that he was needed. I've sometimes known people who claimed to be called to missionary service, but they were very narrow, and they had basically decided for God that the only place they could serve was in a particular place. But I love the fact that Wallace was willing to go wherever he was needed. In the providence of God, that same fall, the then president of the Foreign Mission Board, a man named Charles Madry, had received a letter from another missionary physician, Dr. Robert Beddow, of the Stout Memorial Hospital in Wuchao, China. And that doctor had written and said, "We must have a surgeon. I appeal to you on behalf of all the suffering which you yourself are aware of here. Find us a surgeon." And this was the desperate plea that was being coming in from the field at the very moment God was moving in Wallace's heart to want to go on the mission field. On July 25th, 1935, Wallace was appointed by the Foreign Mission Board. This was exactly 10 years after his call. And we should note that when God calls someone to do something, He will also provide for him the needed preparation. As a 17-year-old, Wallace had felt the call to be a missionary. It took 10 years of preparation. We can think of David, as it's recounted in 1 Samuel, how that he had to spend time out in the desert fighting the bear and the lion. God was preparing him for the day that he would face Goliath. So Wallace, now appointed 10 years after his call, his home church, Broadway Baptist, had a commissioning service, and they collected an offering for him that paid for his first year's salary, for his travel, and all of his moving expenses. And so, on September the 6th of 1935, Wallace set sail for China from San Francisco. We should note that China has long been a field of fascination for Southern Baptists. We have our international missions offering, our annual offering, named for Lottie Moon, a 19th century pioneer missionary to China. And again, this nation, this people group, has long been one of fascination and call for Southern Baptists. These were days in missions when there was a lot of institution building. Missionaries were building schools and hospitals. A century earlier than Wallace, in the 1830s, a congregational missionary doctor named Peter Parker had been effectively used of the Lord there. It was said that Parker, quote, "opened China at the point of a lancet," end quote. Early missionaries in the 1830s could expect to live only about 7 years after arriving on the field. Of course, by the time Wallace was going, things were much improved, and there was a greater longevity for missionaries in general. Wallace was welcomed in Wuchao, And just a few days after arriving in China, he was in the surgical operating room performing his first emergency surgery. As a new missionary, he also began intensive language study in Cantonese, not Mandarin. It's noted that Wallace was tone deaf, and he always had a hard time with the tonal language. Anyone who's ever served as a missionary or been involved in anything in cross-cultural ministry knows how difficult a barrier it is sometimes to get over the language hump. And this was particularly hard for Wallace. So he's a very bright man. Again, Cantonese was a tonal is a tonal language, and Wallace always had a hard time with it. War broke out between Japan and China during Wallace's first missionary tenure. The city of Wuchao and the hospital endured frequent bombings. At one point, all the missionaries were evacuated to Hong Kong, except for Wallace. He refused to go. And when a captain from a U.S. Navy vessel conveyed that he could not be responsible for his safety if he chose to stay, Wallace reportedly responded, quote, "The captain of the vessel isn't responsible for my coming here in the first place, and he doesn't need to be responsible for my staying here," end quote. Wallace was bold in his commitment. By his own account, he was not apt as a teacher. He did not go to China as a preacher. He was really a lay missionary. He served as a deacon in the local church there in Wuchao, although he did care passionately about evangelism. And it is reported that at least two of the Chinese doctors became believers during his first term of service there, and he apparently had an impact on them through his personal witness. Though he was being groomed to be the hospital administrator, he liked the medical side over the administrative side. He liked working with people and treating his Chinese patients and having an opportunity to share with them the gospel. In 1940, after 5 years of service, Wallace took his first furlough. He studied at the University of Pennsylvania and only spoke twice the entire time while he was home during his furlough. Once to a group of a women's missionary union, and a second time he gave a testimony at a Baptist camp at Ridgecrest in North Carolina. By all accounts, by Wallace's own account, he was a dismal speaker. Also during that first furlough, he developed a friendship with a young woman who worked at the central office for the Foreign Mission Board in Richmond, Virginia. His bachelor status was a topic of concern that his friends and his family often asked him about and speculated about. Although he developed the friendship with this young woman in Richmond, the end of his furlough came and he returned to China to begin his next term of service. By this time, the world was being caught up in the events of World War II. Wallace is growing older, more mature. He's got one term under his belt. He is beginning to take on more of the mantle of leadership for the Stout Memorial Hospital. Again, the backdrop of the World War II is going on. And in 1944, as the Japanese were closing in on Wuchao, he and his staff broke down the hospital completely, and they evacuated about 60 patients along with the staff and their medical equipment. They loaded onto a barge and floated down the river. They got off downriver, and they set up in a field what they called the hospital in the wilderness, where they continued to treat their fellow refugees. At war's end, Wallace led his staff back to Wuchao, and he used his mechanical skills and his construction skills to literally work at repairing the badly damaged hospital that had been bombed. In 1945, at war's end, he took his second furlough to study at Chicago's Cook County School of Medicine. He continued during that time to correspond with that young woman in Richmond. He met with her while he was at home. This young woman's parents had been missionaries to China. She had been born there, so they had a natural affinity with each other. But when they came to the close of this furlough, this second furlough, Wallace and this young woman mutually decided that it was not God's will for them to marry. And so when Wallace returned to China to begin his third term of service, it was with the resolution that this was going to be his life's calling, that he would be serving in China as the primary calling of his life. He reassured his nephew and his sister and her sister's husband when he left, "The Lord will watch over us all." In 1947, he issued a report back to the Foreign Mission Board on the work of the hospital, and this is what he wrote. He said, "Every effort has been put forth to fulfill the mission of this hospital. The blind receive their sight, and the halt and lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. It is our hope and prayer that the medical service in this institution shall be on that high plane befitting the glorious gospel which is preached daily within its walls." We now see a mature missionary man giving his life to the preaching of the gospel. By his 40th birthday in 1948, he had become a father figure for the hospital staff. In fact, he served as the father of the bride for an orphan girl who had been raised within the hospital by the staff when her mother had died there. He also took in an orphan boy into his home, whom he named Paul. In 1948, he suffered a bout with typhoid fever that nearly killed him. He recovered from that, though, fortunately. But soon after that, the perils of war impacted his life. A civil war was going on within China between the nationalists and the communists. And in 1949, the communists prevailed. Of the 8 Southern Baptist missionaries who were in Wuchow at that time, 5 decided to leave the country, while 3 decided to remain. And among the 3 who remained was Bill Wallace. Bill himself encouraged missionaries who had families to leave. He is quoted as saying, "I'm one piece of man without other responsibilities, and therefore I can stay." This phrase, "I'm one piece of man," was a Chinese saying to deprecate one's value. It indicated a single, unencumbered, expendable person. And that's the way Bill Wallace looked at his life. At first, the communists gave the missionaries no trouble, but soon that changed. The Korean conflict broke out in 1950, and a pitched anti-American and anti-Western spirit was stirred up. Bill Wallace was arrested on December the 18th, 1950, after making his usual hospital rounds to check on a young soldier upon whom he had performed an appendectomy the day before. A pistol and radio equipment were planted in his room, and he was accused of being, quote, "President Truman's chief spy in Wuchow," end quote. They did not listen when Wallace said, "We are doctors and nurses and a hospital staff engaged in healing the suffering and the sick in the name of Jesus Christ." He said, "We are here for no other reason." But again, they would not listen to that. After his arrest, things did not go well for him. For nearly 2 months, he was tied up. He was beaten. He was humiliated. He suffered psychological torture. He was deprived of sleep and food. He was tricked into signing a confession. They had him sign his name on a piece of paper that he didn't understand what it was saying, having him confess to being a spy. Finally, on February the 10th of 1951, at age 43, he died. The Chinese claimed that he had hung himself within his little jail cell. A missionary nurse was called to identify the body. But when she came to examine his lifeless body, She said that it showed no signs of hanging. His eyes were not bulging and so forth. Apparently, it appears the guards had likely beaten him to death and then hung him up to claim that he had taken his own life. Officials, Chinese officials, communist officials allowed no funeral service, and his body was summarily and quickly buried. However, Chinese believers who knew and loved him slipped in at night and put a crude marker over his grave on which they wrote this inscription from Paul: "For to me to live is Christ." At the end of Fletcher's book, he notes that there is a Wallace Memorial Baptist Church in Tennessee. Another church bearing Wallace's name was planted in California. And in Busan, Korea, there is a Baptist hospital named Wallace Memorial Baptist Hospital. We all know that many thought under communism that the church in China would die without Western support and missionary leadership. But as we all know now, under communism, the church, the persecuted church in China, has actually grown exponentially. And there are myriads of believers in China that have sprung up from the seedbed of the blood of the martyrs. I want to think again about what Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 24. And certainly this speaks to the life of Bill Wallace. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Amen.